If you will, then turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And let's stand in honor of reading God's word. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I know God had a reason for all this morning. I was going to go back to Revelation, but that's not where we're at. So. Romans 8, verse 18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope." Let's go to verse 31. Verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And Father, we praise you. We honor you. We love you. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, I thank you for every soul that's here, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for those that testified, Lord God, to what you have given them and what you have done in their lives, Lord. I just praise you, and God, just honor you and thank you for that. Father, thank you for this church, Lord God, and thank you, Lord God, that as I start my 15th year here, Lord God, I pray, God, and thank you for bringing me home, Lord. And God, thank you for every person in here, Lord God. And Father, we just pray that right now, Lord God, that revival, Lord God, will break out in this church, Lord God, like it has never before, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, if we had a revival in February, Lord God, that we break out today, Lord God, before them. And Lord, by the time Brother Cherry gets here, Lord God, that we have a house full of people, Lord God, that's ready to reach a lost world, Lord. And Father, I pray that you just give me the words to say this morning, Lord. And we give you the praise. And God, just pray that I can stand back and get out of the way, Lord God, and you speak through me. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I want to start out this morning with something that happened in my life this week, and I shared it with the men yesterday in the men's prayer breakfast, and it's something that, you know, no matter, I always think of the potter and the clay and how God works on us every day as we walk that way, and we will never be perfect until we reach the other side. But the other day, we had Brother Jerry Anglin's funeral. Me and my brother was at his church, and this guy walked up to him. And the reason I tell you that this morning is because God wants me to. This guy walked up to him, and he was all dressed up in a big suit and everything, and walked up to him, and he said, "You the pastor?" And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I want to know one thing." He said, "Why you let these boys around here wear these hats?" And these men wear hats in the church house. And Reagan said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "About 5 years ago, I decided that it wasn't none of my business how anybody come to church, what they wore, what they did, what they were doing, or what they had done. Just that they come to church is the most important thing to me." And he told me, he said, "That'd be a good job for you. You just go tell them if you don't want to wear a hat." And so the Lord began to deal with me about that, and I told Brother Charlie out there, and I guess you can accept this as an apology from your preacher. I know a lot of times I have got up here, and I've talked about tattoos, and I've talked about earrings, and I've talked about all this stuff. But I want you to realize that that comes in my generation. There wasn't none of that. And sometimes I say stuff that I feel like God leads me to say, but I don't want to hurt anybody. And let me tell you something. In all of that, we're going to read it here in a minute as we get into this message. Jesus Christ don't care who you are. Don't care. He don't see no color of skin. He don't see tattoos. He don't see drunks. He don't see drug addicts. He don't see prostitutes. He don't see just sorry people. He sees his children, and he loves every one of them. Amen. And so if I have said anything to you or said anything that offended you, please accept my apology, because God kicked me up another notch the other day. You know, we grow a little bit, and I know there's a lot more growing to do, but he got on me the other day about that very thing. And I got to, that is just why people don't like to come to church, because we bring everything into church that we want to do. And it's not what God wants to do is see this church house full of people that are saved and people that will stand up and testify to what he has done in their lives. And so, remember, Jesus loves you. And I tell you all the time, don't depend on me for your salvation. Don't depend on me for your Bible study. Get into God's Word and get in prayer, and he will draw you closer to him. But he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. In verse 31, God says, and Paul is a writer, and he's saying, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you realize what that says? If God is for us, then who can be against us? We worry about everything there is in this world, and God tells us, do not worry. I wrote a scripture down here a while ago. Don't know if I got it right. But I just Matthew 10:28 says, don't be afraid. Do you know how many times don't be afraid is in the Bible? From Old Testament, 252 times, God tells us, don't be afraid. In one way or other. So he tells us here, and he's talking about, in my Bible, it's entitled Everlasting Love. What then shall we say to these things? Paul has already listed these things. We talked about the world and the world groaning, the earth groaning itself, and we groan for something else. And we know what that is. It's that something is God. And here I go again. I'll tell you another example in our lives that happened this week. Last Monday night, a lot of people don't watch football. I watch it. And there was a young man that played for the Buffalo Bills football team. DeMar or something. Anyway, he made a tackle. He got up like everything's going to be fine. And he hit the ground. They stopped the TV show. They stopped the broadcasting. They done everything. And you know what they said? Let's pray. That's all anybody could think of. Let's pray. People, when it comes down to that last breath, or when your loved one or your friend or anybody, when it comes down to that second, to that God controls that heartbeat, God controls our next breath, what God wants us to know is he is in control. And believe me, there is nothing nobody else could do. Now, God did use the paramedics and people to get him going again. And thank God on Friday, he got to FaceTime his team. He's breathing on his own and he's talking. He said, why do you tell? You know what? You will be surprised how God will use that little thing to bring a whole lot of people to him. There was a guy, they kept on going back and forth from the announcers that were announcing the game. They didn't know what to say anymore except, let's pray, let's pray. And they'd go back to New York City to their broadcast and they said, let's pray, let's pray. There was a guy, I looked up his name and I've already forgot it, but there was a guy there, a guy that was sitting there, and he said, you know what? We keep on saying, let's pray. I'm going to pray. And this guy said before we prayed, he said, y'all may not agree with it. Y'all may not believe in my God, but I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to pray. And that guy on national TV prayed, and he said, Jesus Christ, we know right now that you're the only one that can help, and I want to lift this guy up. And he prayed, and you have not heard nothing. Here go. You ain't heard nothing about Black Lives Matter. You ain't heard nothing about nobody, nothing except Jesus Christ. You see, what all these things that we put, all these things that we think is so important and so good, when we put that before us, we can't see God. But when we decide that, hey, I'm a little old speck on this earth down here, and this is all I am. And the only one that can help me is Jesus Christ. And that is in your heart. That is in your soul. Right now, today, I wrote down a while ago, I said, down deep inside, this world is not as it should be. And none of us could believe that it's good. But there's a constant struggle in our lives with sin. But that, I don't care who you are, whether you're saved, not saved, there is programmed in your heart. Jesus Christ is there, and He is trying to point you in the right direction, and He is the only one. There's nobody else this morning, people. It don't make any difference if it's financial problem you're in, if it's alcohol problems, if it's drug problems, if it's family problems. What? The only one that can do anything is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's it. There's nobody else. And He says, Paul says here, and Jesus is writing, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God, people, if the God, our Heavenly Father that created this whole universe, He created the wood that this pulpit is made out of. He created everything that you see. He gave man the knowledge. He gave people the knowledge of the day to treat that guy, and He brought that guy back for a reason. That reason is to let people see, thousands, millions of people see that, hey, somebody's in charge up there. God said, if I am for you, who can be against you? And then He said, he who did not spare his own son. Listen to this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all? How, if God gave his son, if God gave his one and only son, if God was willing to give his only son to let him go to that cross, to die on that cross, what could be against us? What? It said, again, the word said, but delivered him up for us. Remember, for us. He delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How can we trust in the world? How can we trust in the stock market? How can we do all these things? I was up a couple of weeks before Christmas. Joe and I was going around people's houses and giving gifts and talking and visiting, and went to a friend of ours' house, and his wife is real sick, and we praying for her, and we were sitting there, we were fixing to eat, and he jumped up all of a sudden and said, wait, y'all hold up, man, I got to go check on the stock market and see what the stock market does. See what my stocks and bonds is doing today. People, you cannot put your faith in stocks and bonds. You cannot put your faith in money. You cannot put your faith in a doctor. You need to put your faith, your hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the only one. And He says in His word, again, He says, God says this. Every word in this Bible is inspired by God. But Jesus, He said, let me read the whole verse again. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for every one of us. Nobody's left out. Red, yellow, black, and white, alcoholic, drug addict, prostitute, whatever it is, God delivered him up for all of us, every one of us. How shall we not with him? We can't do it without him. We got to do it with him. How shall we not with him also freely give us? He will give us all things. How? What else? And then he goes on to say the word is, he said, who? And he keeps on, Paul keeps on, who shall? Who is it? It's God. And every word in these scriptures that I'm going to read this morning, who shall, in verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is going to say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God? They've done it. They do it every day. But every time they do it and every time they come up with something that tries to prove Jesus is not Jesus, then they find something that proves He is 10 times 4. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who is He? Who shall bring a charge against the elect? It is God who justifies. And that's what I was just talking about a while ago. It's not, I can't justify you. I can't talk about you because, you know, God tells us, I think it's in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the Gospel. He said, how can I tell you not to do something when I got this log sticking out of my head? None of us are perfect. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, every one of us. And the only way that we can get to glory, the only way that we can get to Jesus is by putting our trust and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no, you will never be perfect. Not one of us. We'll be perfect the day that we step in the pearly gates. We will be perfect then. And it's nothing that we've done. It's what God has done for us. What God has given us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Do you realize that? That Christ, Jesus, gave his life on that cross at Calvary. He walked among those people, as I remind y'all all the time. He ate fish. He ate bread. He walked on the seashore. He talked to the disciples. He told them to go into all nations and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to reach everybody that he could. And then he went to sit at the right hand of the Father. Why? To continue to intercede to God for you and our salvation. That's what Jesus Christ is sitting there. And do you think that Christ Jesus went to that cross for nothing? Do you think that he died for nothing? This is what we're going to talk about this morning. He didn't go to that cross for nothing. The Word says again, who is he who condemned? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. He is risen, praise God, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness prevail, which means danger, risk of something happening to you, prevail or sword, as it is written. For your sake, for your sake, we are killed all day long. For your sake, for Christ's sake, Christ gave his life for us, and we are going to be harmed, we're going to be talked about, we're going to be persecuted. Everything for Christ Jesus' sake. But Paul is telling us through the Lord Jesus Christ, hang on, because he is in charge and nothing is going to separate us. Shall tribulation again, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep from the slaughter. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loves us. Through Jesus Christ. It don't say that you are a conqueror because you were great. It don't say you're a conqueror because you give a whole bunch to the church, or you go pray for people all the time, and you know your Bible backward and forward. It don't say anything about that. It says that now all these things, I'm trying to read up there and think of my Bible. No, in all these things, we are more than conquered. We are more than conquered. More than conquered. I mean, we have won more. Not just to say, hey, I won. We won. It is true. We are alive. We are free because of Jesus Christ. Through him who died for us. Jesus gave his life on that cross for you and I to die, for you and I to live. He died and he gave his life that we live, and we live today because of him. Not nothing we've done. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep among the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For God to love the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that, again, whoever, don't make any difference who you are. Don't make any difference what walk you come from. Don't make any difference if you're wearing a cowboy hat or Bermuda shorts. Don't make no difference. Y'all probably don't know what Bermuda shorts are no more. But it don't make any difference. God gave his Son, Jesus, to die on that cross for you and I. And if you want to Get rid of all the burdens in your life. If you want to lighten up all your worries, he said, come to me, ye who are sick and heavy laden, and cast your burdens on me, for his yoke is light. Put your burdens on Jesus Christ. Again, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Now remember, Paul is writing this, and Jesus is inspiring him to write this. Paul said, for I am persuaded. And I hope this morning you are persuaded. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, Christ defeated death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, anything in the present day or things to come, no height, no depth, any other created thing, anything that's created, you don't have to be scared of it. You don't have to be scared of nuclear bombs and warheads and all the stuff they talk about. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about none of the disease, none of the food shortages, none of the gas prices. You don't have to worry about that if you put Jesus Christ first. That's what he's saying. Put me first. Trust me. Created thing. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The love of God from Jesus, nothing. It don't make a difference what your problem is this morning. It don't make a difference if it's financially. It don't make a difference if it's cancer. It don't make a difference if it's heart trouble. We got people right here. I could, Brother Charles testified a while ago. He had a coronavirus about killing. He had a wreck, and anybody would have died had God not been there. And then he had an aneurysm that big around. Big as a softball. What they said it was? And there he is. Right there. Brother John, back there, he had an aneurysm big as a volleyball. One hand called me and told me about him. And there he sits. Why? Because God has a reason for each and every one of us. And yeah, we're going to go through struggles. We're going to go through hard places. But we're going to come out in the end as victory. We're going to come out in the end victorious. We're going to come out in the end okay. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, that's what we lose focus of sometimes. We want everything to be like we want it. We want all of our toys in order. We want to do what we want to do. And then when we have time, we better go pick up the Bible today and read it. We might ought to go to church. You know, we haven't been in 2 or 3 months. We might ought to go today. We might ought to do this. We might ought to do that. God wants you to open up that Bible every day, and God wants you to read it, and God wants you to trust him that nothing. I mean, think of all the things that I just read. Can you think of anything else that you could add to that? Paul said, I'm persuaded. Death can't hurt you. Life can't hurt you, because when you die, you're going to go to heaven. God has already conquered death. Angels, principalities, powers and things present, that's right now, things to come. Nothing too high, nothing too deep. The only thing that can separate you from Lord Jesus Christ this morning, people, is you. That's it. It don't make any difference who you are, again and again and again. It don't make any difference. You may come here this morning not really wanting to come, but God is speaking to your heart right now. God loves you, people. God, he said, don't be afraid. Again, Matthew 28:10. He said, don't be afraid. Don't let this hurt you. It don't make any difference what comes tomorrow, because God is in control tomorrow. And you know what, that cross right there? I scribbled this down a while ago if I read what I scribbled. The cross shows the depth of his love, how deep it is. He said he didn't care how deep. He didn't care how high. And the resurrection shows the depth of his power. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Was coming to church this morning. I told John, I said, I got to have an illustration day. God wants me to have an illustration. And I told her, I said, I want an illustration of love. And she began to look on her Google thing. And before she come up with it, God gave me this. And I'm just going to tell you a story that he gave. And I told her, what about this? She said, that's good. I said, well, God just gave it to me. There's a little boy one time. I think when God was giving me this, I thought about Nathan. And his daddy gave him a puzzle for his birthday. And the puzzle had all kind of different colors and all kind of different parts and pieces and stuff. And he gave it to him. He told him, he said, you can put this together. So the little boy goes into the kitchen. He goes to the table. He dumps out this puzzle. And he all evening he worked and he worked and he worked. He couldn't get none of the pieces together. And he finally, after about 4.5 hours, he just gave up. And he got the box and just shoved all the pieces in. He took it back to his father. He said, Daddy, I cannot put this together. Can you? And he said, yes, son, let's sit down and put it together. He said, you know, I know where all the parts go. I knew where all the parts went before I give them to you. And if you just trust me, we'll sit down and put this puzzle together. The same thing is true with your life. All them parts and all them pieces that you've been trying to put together, God knows exactly where they go. Every one of them. And all he wants you to do is, hey, Lord, I have messed this thing up. He just wants you to take all them parts and rake them in that box. Say, here, Father. And when you do that, nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. Demons, principalities, darkness, height, depth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. A couple months ago, Brother O.C. Green showed me a video. And I've been wanting everybody to see it. Because it's a simple illustration, Brother. Daryl's going to play it for us. And I want you to look at this and I want you to pay attention to this because this is the most vivid illustration of the love of God. Nobody can tell it like this is told. Play that video for us, brother. Listen to this.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
Hold on.
So cute, I guess his mom just talked.
I'm talking right now, I'll be up in a second. But sorry about that. But anyway, she broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God, I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, but my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Sometimes I don't think I'm wise. Trust me, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. But I've learned from it.
Yeah, but see, buddy, that's what makes you wise. Somebody that learns from their mistakes.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's stand. Father God, I come to you right now, Lord. Father, I praise you. honor you. I love you. Father, we lift up your name above every name and everything, Lord God. And Father, thank you for everything that you have said in the service today, Lord God. Father, help us to understand anybody out there, Lord God, that doesn't know you. God, that's letting the weight of this world wear them down, Lord God, that's letting, Father, just things burden their lives, Lord God, and keep them from serving you, Lord God, and trusting you. I pray right now, Lord God, as they just, like little Logan there, Lord God, realize that you gave your son for us, Lord God. And Father, like the little boy with the puzzle that you've given me this morning, Lord God, that you did, we just need to shove them, all that stuff, all those pieces, all those parts that we can't figure out where to go. And God, just give them to you and trust you. And Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.